And at 14 minutes past six, just to give you a heads up, very, very shortly, we're going to be unpacking quite an interesting phenomenon that I think so many people can relate to, or that more and more people can relate to in an ever-changing, a high-pressure world, this high-pressure world that we live in, right? This highly competitive world that we live in. And what you're talking about today in our wellness and health conversation to kickstart the show is imposter syndrome, right? Getting to understand exactly what imposter syndrome is, and first of all, why it happens, but most importantly, how we can achieve despite it or in spite of it and work through it. So helping us have that conversation is Tiffany Markman, who's a copywriting and training freelance copywriter of the year. She's the winner of the Corporate Livewire Prestige Awards in the Freelance Copywriter of the Year South Africa category. So an interesting one. She'll be hosting a webinar or a seminar very, very soon on from imposter syndrome to creative confidence. That's later on this month on the Thursday, the 21st of October. But I thought I'd just catch Tiffany now before the webinar, just to give us a sense of what it is that she's prepared for people and why she's felt compelled and moved to tackle this phenomenon of imposter syndrome. So welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Tiffany Markman. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Tiffany, it's a pleasure to have you here. And I guess I must have come across one of your emails or newsletters, and you posed a very, very important question that I think so many people can relate to, asking if you've ever experienced imposter syndrome and sharing the news that you certainly have. So just, you know, define for us what imposter syndrome is and why we frequently hear that term used by so many people, including those that we admire and think have no issues or problems or weak points at all.
Absolutely. So imposter syndrome is really just the feeling that you are not as good as the public might think you are, and that eventually those secret feelings of being a fraud will manifest and people will know. Mm-hmm. So it's a feeling that you're sort of creating this false impression of being capable or creative or confident or successful, and then eventually the truth will come out, so to speak, and you'll be revealed as inadequate or not sufficient. Mm. And the funny thing about imposter syndrome is that, unlike other elements of self-esteem or self-confidence, this little syndrome manifests predominantly in people who are extremely capable. So it's almost a subcategory of feeling that happens when you are really good at what you do. It's it's that little voice in your head that says, this is too good to be true, it's not going to last.
Yeah. Really, really interesting, bizarre, and I wonder if it's unfortunate. I mean, so if we try to look at the brighter side of things, or try to find the silver lining, what does imposter syndrome do for those high-functioning individuals who actually, as you said, do well in their chosen areas of focus, in their careers, in their work, but have this this hidden, secret feeling or conviction that actually the world is about to find out that I'm not as good as I think I, or as they think I am? What does it do for people? And then we'll get into what it does to them. You know what I mean? As in, how do some people harness it and utilize it? But in the long run, we'll get into the effects of imposter syndrome unaddressed.
I think the way that high-functioning or high-performing people might be driven by it is that it's a leveler. So it pushes you and drives you to do better and do more and be more capable. The risk, of course, is that if you're already high functioning or high performing, then the odds of burnout become even higher than they are anyway.
Sure.
And so you go beyond what is reasonable.
Yeah.
But I don't know that, you know, even for high performing and high functioning people, I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah.
I think that it has the potential to cause you to externalize all your successes. So, for example, if you experience imposter syndrome to the extent that every failure you put down to some external variable, like the people on your team who helped you with the presentation. Then it's very hard to learn.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. And it is self-fulfilling. So on the other hand, you might be afraid of being caught out as an imposter, so you don't ask questions because you think the questions might be silly.
Yeah.
And then you are underprepared and you fail.
Absolutely. So imposter syndrome, the need to obviously address it, the need to understand the causes of it, and also the need to be able to, I guess, move forward, knowing what, you know, the nature of the beast that you're actually dealing with. I imagine it's not something that once identified, once named, is, you know, a beast that you slay, done and dusted. Here I come the rest of my life or the rest of my career. In this talk that you'll be giving on the 21st, I'm just curious to find out what you're going to be arming the attendance of the webinar with, by way of knowledge, by way of tools, and just by way of understanding where this, you know, where this thing comes from, where this syndrome comes from, and why so many people experience it, women especially.
Correct. So I must preface this by saying that obviously I'm not any sort of psychotherapist or psychologist.
Sure.
But again, I also don't believe that imposter syndrome is a psychological thing. I think it's a professional thing. It's a thing that is a function of the workplace as it is structured currently, not so much a function of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so my approach to it in general and in this webinar is very behavioral. So it's based on looking at things and setting up certain tasks for yourself that really help. Now, I don't want to give the game away, but the fact is that there are quite a number of little easy things you can do, so like mini actions that can help you to, for example, depersonalize failure, to see criticism for what it is, to avoid comparison. So just a very, very simple thing is, if you're one of those people who compare your actual life to everyone else's social media life, then what is going to happen is your imposter syndrome tends more to be derived from perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
And so my advice for that is brutally audit your social media platforms for accounts that make you feel bad about yourself and remove them.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they make you feel bad about yourself professionally, physically, financially, from a success point of view, from a personal public profile point of view, be very generous with blocking, muting, and unfollowing, because a lot of that unhealthy comparison is a function of social media. So that's just a really, really small thing that you can do that can make you feel a hell of a lot better about things.
Sure. You know, it's interesting, Tiffany, you bring up social media as, you know, a place where so many professionals put and derive their value or use as some kind of barometer to peg their success, to peg their progress. But I guess, you know, before social media, before the advent of social media, we've ultimately always done that, whether it's having a role model or saying so-and-so is my hero and so I'm going to model my life on how Oprah has, you know, built a media empire, or, you know, her TV career. And ultimately, I think the real truth, the real truth behind all of that is understanding time, place, and when those sources of inspiration are required or necessary, and when they aren't, right? When you need to put yourself in that breach and go, I'm the one ultimately who decides, you know, how this thing is going to be modeled. But it is difficult, isn't it, to do that, because quite often when you're striking out, so as you feel on your own, you want to have some kind of companion, real or imagined, real or virtual, you know, someone who's done this before you, ostensibly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my advice there would be treat those sorts of role models on a pull basis. In other words, go out there and find the ones that really do inspire, motivate you, and drive you, and pull their content into your life deliberately and with intention, rather than allowing many, many voices to push into your life.
Mm.
You know, if Oprah is your person, for example, that inspires you professionally, then deliberately go out and seek out the content from Oprah that pushes you to do amazing things. Mm. But don't then be on Instagram, for example, to get access to Oprah and you know, Kamala Harris and Greta Thunberg, and also land up in a world of Kardashians and, you know.
Absolutely. There's also that element you touched on. You mentioned self-confidence as well in this whole nexus and trying to understand what imposter syndrome is or how to deal with it. In your own experience and, you know, I guess an anecdotal experience that you can give us, women specifically having imposter syndrome or seeming to actually show signs or experience imposter syndrome far more than men, is that a function of socialization perhaps? This weird sort of schism that we need to be, I guess, nicer, more humble, as opposed to as assertive as our male counterparts. And so when you somehow do that, or when you are achieving, there's a part of you that is uncomfortable with the process.
I think it's very, very, there's a strong bias in favor of women feeling imposter syndrome. Certainly in my experience, all of the women I've taught on my webinars and workshops, there's been maybe 1 or 2% of those delegates have been male. But I also think that a structure of the modern workplace is very much, you know, women tend to feel unsure. Mm-hmm. Women tend to sort of hesitate. Women tend to hold back in the workplace given the way that it's structured. Mm-hmm. And so one of the downsides of imposter syndrome is that it puts the blame on people, but it doesn't look at historical and cultural context, right? Mm-hmm. So there's also systemic racism, classism, xenophobia, and whatever other biases might be implicit in the workplace that force us to try and fix people, i.e. women, and not fix them in the places where they work.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So that is a very institutional issue, I think, that goes way beyond what we can do in terms of many actions in our lives.
That is a very interesting theory that you've just posited. So I guess my question then to you is, in your own, you know, as you go through your own work as a copywriter, freelance copywriter, trainer, you for the most part are the boss, you know, in charge of your own destiny, but you also come into contact with other workplaces quite often and other people in various contexts quite often. How do you, as you've just touched on, tackle or approach or think about these big organizational structural problems that go unaddressed, and how you bring yourself, the individual, into those spaces, which luckily you'll leave, or fortunately will leave. You don't have to be there permanently, but it still is an interesting sort of, I guess, a phenomenon of going into and out of these spaces and seeing how, you know, different spaces have more of those structural issues that you've just touched on, as opposed to others. So how do you, Tiffany, the individual, think about yourself going into these spaces, and perhaps, if you can, given the opportunity, arm those that you train to function within those spaces that you say try to fix the individual versus fixing themselves?
So the biggest way that I can have a small impact, if you'll allow me that phrasing, because I'm aware that as a person who comes in, as a long-term person who comes in, I'm very much entering from the outside, doing what needs to be done and then leaving. So the long-term impact that I can have very often is small. So the main thing that I try to do when I've engaged with someone, either as a writer or as a trainer, more frequently as a trainer, is allow them to feel that they've been equipped by me with a set of skills that makes the doing of whatever the job might be easier. In other words, that I'm giving them a very small arsenal of weapons that boosts their confidence, to put a body of knowledge behind them, and that then allows them to feel that they've been strengthened and fortified with a couple more skills, techniques, tools, practical things that they didn't have before. So just to give you an example, I'm training a team at the moment, one of whom is a young woman, quite new to that field, and while her strategic and thinking skills are outstanding, her writing skills aren't great. So she feels an enormous sense of imposter syndrome, that she's been given this amazing job, but that she doesn't have the writing ability or the communication skill to deserve it.
Yes.
And so the work that I'm doing with her at the moment, right now, is giving her a set of writing and communication skills specific to email and specific to emailing outside of the company, so emailing customers, clients, suppliers, etc., and giving her techniques and lists and checklists and tools that say, this is best practice. This is how you use it in your actual life. Now you know that what you're doing is based on an actual set of rules, you know, that you can sanity check yourself against. And you're not just guessing. You're not just following your instinct. You're actually being taught and trained to write these emails in an efficient and effective and compelling way. And the function of that is an enormous sense of confidence where previously there wasn't any.
So interesting. So interesting that I guess the how you're solving for X in this problem is that you're fundamentally, you're teaching her these skills, but at the heart of it is reminding her and reminding us that actually internalizing what is not a shortcoming, just internalizing the fact that you don't have a particular skill or you're not strong in a certain aspect of your job doesn't speak to your worth as an individual. All it means is you just call Tiffany and say, hey, let's work on the writing.
Exactly.
And that's fundamentally, I think, at the heart of all of this.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, for the very first time, I think that's probably why I'm so excited about the upcoming webinar, the 21st of October. For the very first time, in addition to me talking about imposter syndrome, which I do a lot, I have Nina Pierce from Creativity Wake Up joining me for the second half of the session. And she's actually going to be talking about building creative confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we're going to give you the issue, which is imposter syndrome, and I'm going to give you some tips to deal with it. But then Nina's going to come in and she's going to show the neuroscience that proves why you are creative and how to tap into the things that will awaken your creativity, because all of us at the moment are feeling pup as anything. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm finding it hard to drag creativity out of myself.
Listen, it's October, and it's been it's been 2 years of 2021 already.
Exactly. So Nina's going to help us to pull those creative sparks out of ourselves, and then she's going to give us ways to start using them. So it's a function of, here's the problem, here are a couple of tips to deal with the problem sort of in a behavioral way, and then here's something really, really interesting that you can use to sort of take it up a notch.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that's new about this webinar that's making me so excited.
Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for making the time to chat to us this morning on Weekend Breakfast. It really has been a pleasure. And I think, you know, I know that the reason that we're speaking to you this morning is this is easily a topic and a subject matter that so many people can relate to. And I think the sooner we all understand that we actually can work with, we can work through these issues very, very quickly as soon as we understand what lies at the heart of it all, and just carry on, you know, more joyful, more creative, as you say, in our work lives and in our personal lives as well. It doesn't have to always be tense and scary and pressure filled, especially when it comes to work.
Correct.
Thank you so much. Tiffany Markman is a copywriter and freelance copywriter trainer.